What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much
memory. Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
What's going on, golf addicts? Thanks for downloading the Tour Junkies podcast brought to you by Swing Caddy. If you want a Swing Caddy and you don't want to spend 20 grand on the old TrackMan device, get a personal Swing Caddy. You can put it in your bag, you can take it to the range, you can take it to the golf course. It'll tell you your carry distance, your swing speed, your ball speed, smash factor, all those good fun things. Go to our website, tourjunkies.com, click on Swing Caddy promo. When you go to check out, type in Tour Junkies, all one word, all lowercase, in the promo box. Click apply. And instead of paying $350 for the swing caddy, you pay $290. It's a good deal. Hey, this episode is all about the Northern Trust, the first event for the 2017 FedEx Cup playoffs. A field of 125. Me and Pat are going to talk about strategy for the week, what this means for you. We're going to talk about the plays that you need to know about, and the guys that you don't need to play, and the stats that we think are important. We also got a little bit of news today from the course, one from a player and one from a caddy that has seen the golf course and kind of what to expect. They don't want to miss that. Thanks again for downloading. May your screens be green. Enjoy the show. What's going on, golf addicts? It's the Tour Junkies podcast for the Northern Trust Open. No, not Open. Just Northern Trust, I think.
Don't
not
confuse open, really. The listeners from right off
yeah,
the bat.
Sorry.
I mean, there is a Northern Trust Open.
Is there?
Yeah.
But this is just the Northern Trust.
Because, you know, they switched sponsors from last
That's
year.
Right.
It was the Barclays.
And, so. Yeah. Hey, what's up, Pat?
How are you? You doing good?
I'm all right, man. I'm all right. You know, I took a beating again in DFS last week, so that's 2 weeks in a row. I've not had a good week, but you know, it's a good field this week. Top 125 in the FedEx Cup, minus about five or six guys, and the season's winding down. Football is upon us. The eclipse was today. Did you get a chance?
The eclipse sucked. It was.
You had clouds, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed about it because all I'm seeing on Facebook and Twitter and whatever else is all the greatness of it and how fantastic it was and once in a lifetime experience, and I didn't get to see crap. It was just a bunch of clouds.
Listen, man, it really wasn't. It really wasn't that great. I saw it. I mean, it was all right. It was cool. We were not in the whatever lane of totality or whatever it was, but you know, it was all right. But it was pretty fun, like everybody out of the office standing in the parking lot with weird glasses on, staring up at the sky with their mouths open. That was kind of funny. We had a lot of funny pictures, and of course there were some funny jokes going around the internet, you know, so that kind of thing was fun. It took everybody's attention off of the, you know, the garbage that we're normally paying attention to.
That is true.
And,
that is true.
Yeah, so that was good. But other than that, man, it really was kind of a letdown unless you were in that whatever totality place. So that I think you're good. I think you're all good. You didn't miss much. In addition to the eclipse today, what else happened? Anything else? Anything else big in your world going down? Let me. I want to take a minute and check in on Pat Perry, personal life.
Wow.
How's it going?
Well, I have, you know, we're getting into fantasy football season too, not just regular real football, and so I have my big fantasy draft this weekend. Which,
that's right.
Anybody big who's one. Been a listener for a long time knows that this is, it's a very fun draft. We're in Tybee Island, Georgia, which is. Let me just tell you, if you ever want to people watch on a beach, go to Tybee Island because it's ridiculous. And we're there for like 3 days, and it's just a rolling poop show.
Must be nice. Must be nice.
So it's going to be fun. I'm excited. I've got the fifth pick. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. I'm going to need you and the listeners to maybe talk me down off this ledge. I am really thinking of if he's there, which I think he will be. I'm probably going to go Ezekiel Elliott at number five.
Are you kidding me?
Look, here's the thing. All right, so it is a keeper league. Now, my keeper is going to be Matt Ryan because I picked him in the 13th round last year, and that means we go two rounds ahead, so I get to he's going to be 11th round keeper. So I'm locked in at quarterback.
Good value.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's pretty good. And I feel like Zeke's penalty the suspension's going to be lowered, or he's going to do like Brady did, and he's just going to file a court motion or something like that, and it's just going to be put off to the next year anyway.
Here's the difference. There's a couple of differences. Number one.
I know what you're about to say, because I know this has to do with a very sensitive subject with the league.
He which slapped a girl. Yeah. He beat a girl. Much different than slightly deflated balls, okay?
True. I'm with you.
I agree with you. I do think it's going to get lowered. I don't think it's going to get lowered more than like three or four games. I mean, I think he's going to have either a three or four game suspension. And I think it's going to start immediately. So I don't think he's worth it in the first round. Definitely not. I mean, I get it. But I mean, and even for a keeper league, like if you take him in the first round, you still lose him in the first round next year.
Well, anybody we have in the we pick in our league, if you pick between rounds one and four, you don't get to keep anyway. So the keeper part doesn't matter.
Then you're picking him to you're only picking him to try and win this year.
Yeah, exactly. I'm taking the risk of who the probably the best running back in the league with the best offensive line, and not all you got to do is make it to the playoffs in my league. It's a little different
He is not the best running back in the league. He has the best offensive line in the league. You're exactly right there, but he is not the best running back in the league. Plus, you're going to lose him for three games, maybe four, and what if it's all six? Like, what if the NFL decides to say, you know what, we got enough, you know, bad PR going on with CTE and all this violent stuff and all this, you know, crap going on. We need to lay down the hammer on a six-game suspension on a big-name guy for the biggest team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. And then you're stuck. Like, he's not going to give you the value there. You could get him in the second round, third round, which I still think is crazy.
Well, you don't think he's that good of a running back, and he's got the greatest offensive line, then just take the backup later on. Who's the back? Is it still? This is how much.
The other day I saw Darren McFadden running, but the Alfred Morris is there too. I don't know. Anyway, these people want to hear golf takes.
Okay,
they don't want to hear this. So we had the Wyndham. Henrik Stenson totally made me look like a fool. You actually picked him, so good for you. I basically fully faded him, and that was no good. We picked 28 golfers. We had 9 miss the cut. Ugh. We had 5 in the top 10 and 6 in the top 25. It was not our best week, guys. Not our best week. Mullinax, McGirt, Summerhays, Watney, Hadley, Scott Brown, Grayson Murray, James Hahn all missed the cut for us. We got it right with Stenson. You did. With Webb.
Rory Sabatini,
Kevin Na, Harold Varner III. I threw out a little Troy Merritt there at the end. He was a scrub value that got you like a top 30, I think, or something. You know, some other cut makers, but just not a lot of top 25ers, and it just wasn't a great week for us. But, you know, sometimes we have those, is what it is. It was an interesting week. I mean, you had Sunday was exciting. Martin Flores with a hole-in-one to basically lock up his tour car. That was just great to see. I mean, I love seeing stuff like that. It was just super cool. Ben Crane, same thing on Sunday. I mean, that was nuts. So a lot of guys making some runs on Sunday. That's kind of the story within the story on Sunday at the Wyndham is that whole race to the top 25, and it was cool to see. And you had guys like J.J. Henry, who was the official 125er, make it in. It was just cool to see these guys, you know, do their thing. I will say, I don't know if you heard about this, but the tragedy in that is Zach Blair finishing number 126, who made the cut but then fell subject to the MDF.
Ugh.
So there are a lot of people on tour, former tour pros and current tour pros, basically standing up for Zach and just talking about how stupid that rule is, and the MDF is stupid, and if you make the cut, you should be able to play on Sunday.
Wait a second. Okay, that's brutal. I understand that, but he could have played better on Saturday and avoided the MDF.
Yeah, agree. I guess, whatever. I don't have enough evidence to argue one way or the other, but there was a lot of most of the consensus on Twitter was that the MDF is stupid, and it's for reasons like this that it should not be allowed. So, anyway.
He had the opportunity to play in many tournaments during the year. That argument doesn't hold water with me. Look,
true.
The rule itself may be stupid. The question is,
why have the MDF? Like, that's the question.
Okay,
why even have it?
That's fine, but don't pin Zach Blair and his 126 finish as the reason not to have the MDF. You can make a lot of arguments not to have it, but I'm not buying that it's you know. I don't know. That just doesn't hold any water with me. I don't really care about that. He had a lot of tournaments he could play better at, or he could have done whatever to finish in the top 125. It was not the MDF that caused him, to not finish in the top 125.
You know what, Pat?
What?
You know what? I actually agree with you, 100%.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I thought you were about to.
No.
Okay.
I think you're 100% right. I think that was a very smart statement that you made. He had plenty of chances, and you're right, you just didn't do it. The rule's a rule, is what it is. I think the greater question is, what is the actual purpose of the MDF?
Now that we could argue for sure.
That I'm not sure. I thought about it today. I'm like, well, I mean, I guess, you know, the they're just, I mean, it's not like they're trying to like speed up Sunday, because I mean, typically, if there's an MDF, it's only like 10 to 15 more players. I mean, you get them off early and you're done with it. I don't really know if it truly speeds up a Sunday. I'm just not real sure. I'm not real sure what the basis for the MDF was. So I don't know.
If you're just an average, or not even, if you're new to the game of golf, you probably would look at that, and in watching PGA Tour events, you would look at an MDF and be like, what the hell is that? Like,
yeah,
he made the cut, and I think it's technically
made the cut, did not finish, or something, right?
Yeah,
is that what it is?
But that's
Which
just
dumb,
like
also.
I have so many, literally, that you know, people that are friends and whoever else that listen to us or that know about what we do and play DraftKings. Whenever they see this MDF thing, I always get questions about it, and it's mostly non golf fans that are just like, what the hell is this? Like.
I know it's when, is it 80 or more? So if the cut is 70 in ties, is it 80 or more?
Yeah.
If 80 or more make it through the cut.
It basically happens because too many people get it. Yeah.
Too many people make the cut on the number. So they carry over, they get to play Saturday, and then they recut again to the top 70 in ties. So if you're not in the top 70 in ties from there, then you don't get to play Sunday. It is really kind of a dumb rule.
Yeah.
When I don't know, maybe somebody else could better explain it to us.
It's also screwed me out of some money on DraftKings, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And fantasy draft, for one, because I had a lineup that was killer about a month
ago. You had
a
really killer lineup this week.
I did. It was awesome. Best lineup I've ever had. Hey, guys.
Hey,
just a PSA. Don't forget to set your lineups.
Jeez, what an amateur. What a freaking amateur. Speaking of amateur, let's just go ahead and recap our one-and-done season. It was horrible. It was just horrible. And we did figure out that you ended up passing me somehow by like 60 grand.
How did I pass you when my guy missed the cut?
I don't know. I think you had it wrong last week or something happened. I don't know. But you finished 160th, I think, and I finished 164th. So, yeah, there's that. And the guy that won our league, just props to you. He even picked Stenson on the way out. Last go, picked Stenson. Had like $12 million in winnings on the one and done.
I hope that he
Pretty
was
impressive.
Doing that in some money formats.
Yeah. Well, he's going to get some prizes. He's going to get some prizes and maybe even a little. I can't remember the prize structure from Fantasy Fairway, but he's going to get some good stuff from them. In fact, I think the top few guys are, so be on the lookout for that. We released the Gino Bonelli podcast. Listen, don't tune out right here. Stop. Don't tune out. Listen, he's a funny cat, all right? He's a caddy on the PGA Tour. He caddies for Joel Damon. If you don't know who Joel Damon is, totally understandable. He is a rookie on the PGA Tour. He came over from the web.com last year, qualified. He will be playing in the web.com finals and trying to keep his tour card for next year. Joel's a rookie on tour. Gino is one of his longtime buddies who's been his caddy this year. So he's a rookie caddy on tour, but caddied for Joel on the web.com tour. And Gino recently made headlines because he tweeted a job application to caddy for Rory McIlroy. And it was quite hilarious, and it got a lot of attention, and we saw it and loved it and thought it was funny. So we touched base with Gino and stalked him a little bit, and he is funny all day long. Like, the dude is a really good follow on Twitter. You must follow him on Twitter. In fact, let me go retrieve that Twitter handle while I'm talking about it, because I can't remember off the top of my head. But the guy is a trip, and we had like a hour-long conversation with him. He's at Gino Bonelli, G-E-N-O-B-O-N-N-A-L-I-E. He's very funny, and we talked about a lot of good stuff, to include, but not limited to, caddy tears, 2 Guinness Book of World Records that he holds, breaking arms on the golf course, the player on the PGA Tour with the most game with the ladies, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
Marriage advice to Rory McIlroy, and telling the guy that you work for that you have him on your DraftKings roster. It was really good. You need to listen to it, so go check it out. Anything more to add to the Gino conversation there, Pat?
No, it was just a lot of fun talking with him, and you know, just listen to it. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's very good. It's worth the listen for sure. What else? Let's see. Oh, we got a lot of orders to get out. Do you have orders out, Pat? What do you have? Are you all caught up?
I'm pretty much caught up. I've got one order that I need.
Listen, guys, we had some confusion. PGA Championship really messed us up a lot, and then we got all these other little side things going on. If we owe you something that we made a bet on or whatever, please just send us an email, because we're not trying to screw you out of your bet. We're a 2-man operation, and it's there's a lot going on. So sometimes I make a bet and Pat doesn't know about it, or vice versa. So just forgive us. Communicate with us. We will gladly get you what you need.
Yeah, call us out. Communicate. Yeah, for sure. I mean,
yeah.
All the orders that I do, because I'm the order person that come through our website, are easy to track. But when we got these bets and all these other things out there, sometimes we forget. So forgive us for that. But, you know, go ahead and send us a message. Tell us you didn't get something.
Email us info@tourjunkies.com. info@tourjunkies.com. Okay, the other thing I want to tell you before we get into the course breakdown, yours truly, DB, is going to be in Chicago next week. A week from today, I'll be doing the show from Chicago. I'm pretty excited about it. I will be there, and I'm looking to, well, let's see. I got a couple things on the agenda. Number one, I'm going to a Cubs game, I believe Tuesday night, the 29th. It'll be me and another friend of mine. If you guys want to join us, you're welcome to. If you can help me get some good tickets, help me with that as well. I would appreciate it, and I may trade you some Tour Junkie swag for doing so. And other than that, probably going to do Top Golf one night. So we'll let you guys know. We'd love to rendezvous at Top Golf and hang out. I did that last time I was in Chicago. This is my last trip to Chicago for a while. So if you're there, let me know. Last time we met up with Wedge and Jared, who was pretty cool, and we had a good time. So
just wanted to throw that out there. I'll be at Tabby Allen this weekend if anybody's there.
There you go. Yeah.
Look me up.
There you go.
Actually, don't.
Yeah. No, do. It will be entertaining. All right, that's it. That's all I got. I'm ready to get in this. You good?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, give me the course breakdown for the Glen Oaks Club.
All right, so yes, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we are at the Northern Trust. This is the beginning of the FedEx Cup playoffs, so you've got the 125 in here, sans a few players. At Glen Oaks Club, which is in Westbury, New York, par 70 is playing 7,300 yards. It's pretty dry out there. You know, they haven't had a whole lot of rain, and also if you look at the forecast, you're not going to see much for at least during the tournament rounds. It is looking fantastic. I mean, beautiful weather. I wish it was like that here because it's going to be like in the 70s, hardly any wind. Now, it could change, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, you got, you know, the fairways here are, you know, I think you need to be accurate off the tee, but it's not necessarily a must. I will say this. We talked to a player and a caddy today, and we learned a little bit because this is a new course this week that they have not played. One thing we learned is that it plays very similar to, or it looks similar to Augusta National. I talked to the player, or texted with the player, because, you know, as we know on the podcast, I'm privileged. David talked to the caddy. So we got a few.
It's so fitting, by the way. It's so fitting when I think about it that you have the relationship with the players and I have the relationship with the caddies. No offense to the caddies. I'm a big fan of our caddies.
Probably
friends.
Getting better information.
Oh, that's for sure.
Anyway, the particular player I talked to said that you definitely want to look at folks who are good around the greens. He mentioned Spieth in particular, which we all know he's great around the greens. And that you didn't necessarily have to be a bomber here. It could help, but it wasn't a necessity to do well. So take that for what it's worth. You know who I really wish was here was Sergio Garcia. I feel like he would check all the boxes this week, but he's not. So we'll have to worry about him when he comes back on. You got Poa Greens. Now you heard from a caddy, a conflicting report, but I think that has something to do with how they play, which is important. They could be Poa or whatever the hell kind of grass, but if they putt like bent grass, then to me, I'm going to be looking at, you know, who plays best on those fast, hard greens. So there you go.
Well, and I'll just, since you read it right off the text, I will read the text from a caddy who has been out to the golf course and seen the course, and today he said, yeah, they are bent grass. Nobody has really played here, to my knowledge, other than Jim Herman, so the greens will be new to everyone. Then he says, better be driving it in the short grass this week or have a really sharp wedge game. If it's not in the short grass, it's going to be a short week. And I said, the fairways are kind of wide, though, right? And he said, yeah, they are. So, that's that. Basically, with the green surfaces, I tend to listen to the caddy. And if they play like that, or if he thinks they rolled like bent, then treat them like that. But honestly, I'm not taking it into consideration whatsoever. It just... If it's a mixed bag like this, mixed review, it's new greens anyway. I would prefer just focus on something else for me personally. So I don't have a single putting stat that I weighted this week. For me, it's all about the tee to green stuff. So my key stats while we're there are strokes gained off the tee. Not necessarily leaning bombers, but you know there are some guys who gain strokes off the tee not being bombers. So I got some of those circled. Strokes gained approach, strokes gained around the green, which is that scrambling number that your player talked about. And par four scoring as it's a par 70. So those are the four big ones. And I looked at, just to give you some more detail, if I say they check that box, it means according to Fantasy National, they are in the top 20 in this field for the last 24 rounds. Checking those boxes. And then I did look at one more stat. I'm in the five stat category this week, which I used to do a lot more often. Now I've tried to narrow it down a little bit. But the last one is proximity.
Yeah.
A little page out of Pat Perry's book.
Yes.
Proximity the last 12 rounds. So I went last 12 because I want to know, like, very recently who's throwing darts. So Again, if you check the box in proximity, that you're in the top 20 in the field over the last 12 rounds based on Fantasy Nationals numbers. So that's what I'm looking at. Obviously, there's no course history to go off on. I'm really not getting wrapped up in the whole like comp course debate. Yes, Scott Brown talked about how it reminds him of Augusta. That may be aesthetically and as far as like how it's maintained. But as far as how it plays, I'm just not really getting wrapped up into that. I'm listening to the player, the caddy that have seen the golf course. I'm going to go on a lot of form, and I'm going to try to rely on these stats this week. So that's my plan.
I'm with you, man. I mean, most of all the stats I match up with there. I think I may look at a little putting, though. I'm going to kind of narrow it down to just the folks who play well on fast surfaces, hard surfaces. So I do think that is going to matter a little bit. So
another thing to think about, especially for our new players, this being a shorter field, you've only got like 120 guys in the field. It's still, the cut line is still top 70 in ties. So you're going to get around 60% of the field is going to make it through the weekend. So you can look at that a couple different ways. I mean, number one, that does mean for sure that if you don't have 6 of 6 through the cut, that lineup is probably not cashing. So a 5 of 6 is probably not going to do it for you, just because there's going to be a lot more teams this week with 6 of 6 through. Now, based on that logic, you could go one of two ways. You could go, well, if I know I got to get 6 of 6 because everybody's going to have 6 of 6, that actually makes me incline more to do a balanced lineup to make sure that I get 6 of 6 through. Or you can look at it this way and say, hey, 60% of the guys are going to make the cut. I'm going to go studs and duds and basically, you know, put all my risk in a couple of duds. And if they make the cut, then I'm rolling good. So there's a couple different ways you can look at it there. But that's how it is.
I also think if you're looking at GPPs, you can easily leave some money on the table, even maybe more so than you might typically.
Also a good point. Yes. So strong field, that's why. You got a strong field here, good players. So yeah, leaving money on the table is probably a good thing if you're playing in a larger GPP. That's the other thing. I do think ownership's going to be a bigger deal. I definitely think it's going to be a big deal this week. So
I do. There are some players that I think I will bring up, or at least a couple in particular, that I like early on, but only if I see that their ownership is going to look lower later in the week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, recording this on Monday night, we have really not a great sense of ownership at this point, so we'll have to hit you later. Let's get into it. You ready?
Yeah, let's go.
All right, I'll start us off in the five-digit range. There are two guys in this five-digit range that checked four of my five boxes, including they both checked the proximity box, throwing darts in the last 12 rounds. And it's one guy who you would think it would be, and that's Hideki, checks every single box. And then it's Jordan Spieth. So the only box he's missing is the strokes gained off the tee, which we've all seen his driver troubles lately, but a little bit wider fairway I'm okay with. Nobody scrambles like Spieth. He's just one of the best scramblers on tour. So I'm going Hideki and Jordan. That's it. I mean, Rory, who knows what's going on with his rib issue. DJ at that price is going to be extremely chalky. So yeah, those are the two guys I'm planting my flag on. That's it.
Well, I actually, I can see Hideki. I can't really argue with you there. I love Spieth this week. He's my number one play in this over 10K category. Like you said, he pretty much just checks every box. Scrambling, proximity, par four scoring, all of those. So I love Jordan Spieth this week. There's a part of me, though. All right, so I mentioned, you know, ownership. Do you think that DJ is really going to be that chalky at 10-8? Like, I'm kind of wondering what's going to happen with him right there.
I think a lot of people are going to like him at 10-8. I think they're going to come off of Rory because he's the injury question is there. I mean, a few days ago, he's talking about how we weren't going to see him until next year, and then all of a sudden he decides to play. He's only $100 less than an injured Rory. I think a lot of people are going to take him. I mean, to see a name like DJ, the fifth name on the list, he hasn't been that in forever. And I know his form isn't great, but I just think people are going to see that savings at 10-8 and jump on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part of me that like you just said, was form that makes me wonder where that's going to fall, because I may take some DJ this week, and he's going to be one of those guys that I just want to kind of see where it looks like the ownership's going. I think Ricky Fowler's probably going to be maybe the top-owned guy here, him and maybe Spieth, but so there you go. I'm with you there. I love Spieth.
Well, you're terrible at predicting ownership anyway.
So. I am so bad. Really that bad is true. That. Like, I can't sit there and argue with you on that one.
All right, anybody in the 9K range for you?
I'm going to go with Jason Day, who has been kind of my GPP guy lately. I thought that, I played him at the PGA and some just I threw him in some GPPs. And, you know, he checks the box and strokes gained around the green for me, so I do think Jason Day at 9,700 just is a really good price for him. But my favorite guy here is going to be Paul Casey at 9,000. Obviously checks a box in recent form, strokes gained approach, strokes gained off the tee, and also par 4 scoring. So if you want my number one guy in this 9K range, it is going to be Casey. But I do like Jason Day in some GPPs. And the you look only at, I guy. Mean, Day is really like, he's improved. I mean, but when you look at, he missed the cut in two straight events, 2 months ago. But then since then, he's had a 27th, a 24th, and then a top 10 at the PGA with really just a stupid hole on 18, which you obviously were able to witness because you were right there pointing out where the ball was on TV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I like him. So there you go.
Yeah, I don't mind the Day logic there. He checked a couple boxes for me. I think for me it might be a wait and see on the ownership. If a lot of people are remembering that stupidity on 18 and they're going to be off of him, then I agree with you. I think that's an interesting play. But I'm with you in complete agreement with Paul Casey. There are four players in this field that checked four of my five boxes. I've named Hideki and Spieth, who are the first two. Casey is the third. I just can't argue with his stats right now. He is really popping, and without any course history, you're really just looking at form and stats and ownership. I think he's a guy, and he's definitely one I would start a lot of cash lineups with, or at least put considering cash, because I think he's a lock to make the cut at 9,000. It's a good price, and clearly the guy statistically is just doing all things really well from tee to green. So. I'm all in favor of Paul Casey. That's the one guy I'm going to hang my hat on. So, in the 8K range, I don't have a lot in here. This may be where, I don't know, maybe this is where there's a little bit of an edge somewhere. I think I'm going to get on Matt Kuchar, who I've been off of a little bit for the last couple of weeks, just as he recovers from the Open Championship and the letdown there. But checks the box in scrambling, checks the box in par 4 scoring. We know he's a cut maker. He's a backdoor top 10 machine. 8,700. I kind of like a little cooch. Other than that, I think Berger could be interesting. Just burned a boatload of people. Just so many people. Whatever that last event was. What I can't remember what the PGA. Everybody was on him for the PGA. All of DFS was on him for the PGA. Just burned so many people. But he checks the box in strokes gained approach and par 4 scoring. I don't know. It's interesting. So we'll see what his ownership could be, because if a lot of people are going to be off of him, that could be another good play. But Kuchar's my favorite in this range. I'm staying pretty disciplined in like the 8K range and above. I'm going to have like a very small number of guys who I'm rocking. And then I'm going to make up a lot of my other lineups from this 7 and 6K range.
Well, I think, for me, if you're looking at just strategy, and Paul Casey, I'm with you. I think he's one of those kind of locks in your lineup. But if you add Paul Casey and Jason Day, and then you want to kind of fill your lineup from there, you're going to be in that 7 range and in the low 8 range. And so I feel like you got to peg these guys right. I'm with you on Cooch. I do like John Rahm, though. I mean, 8,900 is just – I think he's probably going to be pretty chalky there. But checks the box on strokes gained off the tee. Also, par 4, birdie or better percentage. when I looked at the putting stats as far as fast greens and, you know, firm and fast, he checked the box there. So I do like Rahm at 8,900. Also, Rose to me is interesting at 8,300. He's the other guy that I want to know where his ownership is come Wednesday, because I think a lot of people are going to look at him and say, okay, wait, we got Justin Rose, 8,300. That just seems way too cheap for him. So there may be some, you know, some folks that gravitate to him because of that. But I do think, you know, and his play has not been great as late, but I do, for GPPs, I do like Justin Rose at 8,300. You know, if you want to, now, you didn't like the comparison to the Augusta National, which obviously no course is just like the Augusta National. But if you're looking at a little bit wider fairways, you're looking at around the greens, that kind of stuff, you know, Justin Rose obviously played the course incredible back in April. In the, you know, getting into the playoff with Sergio. So I think Rose is interesting to me at 8,300. But other than that, I'm with you on Berger, and that's about it. So there you go.
Why don't you start off the 7K, like the mid to high set?
7K, whatever. I just don't think you can avoid Charlie Hoffman. You know, he's been playing absolutely fantastic. This is another course that should set up pretty well for him. If you're looking at stats, he's one of those scorers, especially on par fours. 7,900 to me is a pretty good price for him. I'm going to be in this range a lot. I like Hoffman, and I love Francisco Molinari. I mean, I think he is just, to me, this is the ideal course. If I had a one and done pick this week, I know ours ended, I'm going to go with Francesco. He would be my one and done this week. Checks the box on strokes gained approach, also strokes gained off the tee. Obviously, he's very accurate off the tee. I don't think you have to worry about that at all with him. So he's probably going to be – he is my top guy in the 7,000 range.
Yeah,
I got a few others, but I'll let you kind of fill in right here, and then I'll go at the bottom here.
Well, we're barking up the same tree here, because we agree on a lot of guys, and Molinari is the fourth and final player that checks four of five boxes for me. So to recap, those four would be Hideki, Spieth, Casey, and Molinari. He's one of those guys who just stroke chain off the tee for not being a bomber. He's what we like to call a short knocker, is yeah. Molinari. He's one of those guys who can just, you know, even on long par fours and some of these par fives, he still just scores really well. And I like him. I love the price. I mean, love the price. And don't really care what his ownership's going to be at this point either. So I don't mind Hoffman. I didn't really have a whole lot of him circled, but don't mind him. I'm probably going to get a little bit of Webb Simpson. I mean, checks the box scrambling, another par four scorer in great form. Don't mind Webb. I don't mind a little Keegan. Cool. Strokes gained off the tee, par four scoring. And in the mid-range, that's kind of it. But as I keep going down, I'm kind of a fan of Ian Poulter. I'm going to get back on the Poulter train. He checks three or four boxes for me, including strokes gained approach, around the green, and par four scoring. Might have a little Brian Harman right there below him, also around the green and par four kind of scoring guy. Just the salary savers. And then the last one that's kind of my GPP play is going to be Jim Herman. Strokes gained off the tee and strokes gained around the green, the Herminator. He's also 81st in the FedEx Cup standings. You got to be in the top 100 after this to make it to the next event. So, I mean, he's not in grave danger, but it is going to get more competitive here, as 25 guys are not going to be in the standings for to continue the FedEx Cup. So I think you get a little extra motivation for the Herminator. Like I said, our caddy friend mentioned that Herman had seen the place before, so I think I'll have a little bit of him.
Wow. Totally with you on Poulter. He is just like you said, he checks every box for me. I love him. Or not every box, but he's up there. 7,000 is a great price for him. I think, like our player said that we talked to, you know, being, you know, great around the greens. If you've watched Poulter at all since, like, just the last, literally, like, 2 or 3 months, he has been incredible around the greens, out of the bunkers, out of wherever he is. If he's missing greens, he's been good. So I love Poulter. Also Xander Schauffele at 7,000. He checks that proximity stat that you mentioned earlier. His recent form has been great. Strokes gained off the tee, par four birdie or better percentage. All of those he checks the box. So I'm going to be on him as well. You know, what are your thoughts on Tony Finau this week? Because he's always kind of the DFS darling, so I feel like we can't not mention him. But there's a part of me that wants to fade him, because I feel like his ownership's just going to be way too high right here.
It always is. He always is pretty popular. I don't think it'll be too high. I mean, I do think it's a really good price for that name down there. But I think in this deep field with this many options and you know, a better field, I think it'll kind of get spread out a little bit. I mean, I don't mind him. If somebody wants to play him, I don't mind. I think another guy to look at actually while we're here is this Richie Werenski fellow who's had a few good tournaments in a row here lately, including last week at 7,100. Just another GPP play, but currently sits 108 in the FedEx Cup ranking. So he's got to move up to make it to next week. He's motivated and he's just had a little streak here the last two or three weeks playing really well. So I think he's interesting.
I think too, if you're going to pivot off of, you know, somebody who might be higher owned, like Tony Finau, I would maybe look at JB Holmes this week.
I knew you were going to, you're starting to say JB Holmes as much as you say Kiz, and
no
you say,
way.
And you say Holmes. Like
Holmes.
It's like so country that it comes out like British or something. Be like, I think you should look at JB Holmes. You're gonna go back and listen to this, and you're gonna hear it, and you're gonna be like, "Oh my god, it does! It sounds like I've got a British accent."
It's kind of like
JB Holmes.
It's kind of like
Holmes.
Again. By the way,
but you're like, I kind of like JB Holmes. You do say him like every week, by the way. The listeners will agree with me, I guarantee you.
No,
if you went back and listened
that's
to
not it, true
just
at
about
all.
Any field that JB is in, you pick him.
I mentioned him in the PGA, but I did not. That's about it.
Which was probably the last event he's played in, and then you mentioned him in the event before that.
I don't think.
And the event before that.
Okay, well. We'll see.
What would be the all Pat team? It would be Kiz, JB Holmes.
That's just not even true, because JB's not
JB
a guy.
JB Holmes.
That's not a guy I talk about every week.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You'd be shocked if you paid attention to who you talk. Yes, you would. You would. I swear you would. I'm not making this up. It'd be Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele would be in there.
An all-Pat team, it would not. JB would not make the cut.
Dude, I've already got it figured out. Yes, he would. Kisner, JB Holmes, Xander Schauffele, Russell Henley, that would be another one. You'd have those four in there. Those are all four.
No way, Schauffele. What are you talking about? This is the
You love to pick Schauffele. You're always like, as I like to call him, the chef, which is just a stupid nickname as well, is Schauffele, not Schauffele. And you're like, I like to call him the chef.
Because it just rolls off the tongue better.
No, it doesn't. Those are your four. I got to figure out who the other two would be. For the all Pat team, they might not be in this field right now. Rory is usually a go to, but I can't get mad at you. For
See,
Rory.
That's what I thought you were going to.
Charles Howell be the fifth.
No,
be the fifth.
Not true. Now you're thinking of my dad.
No, that's you too. You've inherited that gene. Yeah, I'll figure it out. But anyway, that's five. Anyway,
this is stupid. That's
I do. I will say. Russell Henley does stand out to me a little bit on this.
How in the hell does Russell Henley stand
well,
out?
And actually, he didn't check any boxes for me, so full disclosure, he did not. But I do think he's a name down here getting a little lost, 7K. I just feel like, I mean, sandwiched between Morgan Hoffman and Vaughn Taylor, like he's a way better player than that.
He typically putt well, though, on greens similar to this.
He is, he's not the most accurate guy in the world, which I think is fine for, I mean, obviously, you know, we need to be in the short grass, but a little wider fairways than normal. I think Henley could sneak up and do something here. Ownership is always iffy, but I bet he's a little lower owned than we think. Anyway. All right, that's it for me in the 7K.
Yeah, now that we're probably going down into the 6K range, I'm just going to say that I don't really have a lot of guys here. because I'm going to be more average price line this week. And so this is going to be all your category, buddy.
You're boring in the 6K. You're always like scared to take a risk in the 6K.
No. You used to say that I would throw out all these guys when we got down to the bottom.
That. That's true.
So maybe you scared me away from that.
But there's some good names. I mean, it's a good field. So there's some.
I had a guy written down, but you already shamed me for him. So I'm not going to mention Charles Howell.
See, I told you.
who does check the box, obviously, on, you know, he's been playing well recently.
He missed the cut of the Pete. No, he didn't miss the cut.
No, he made the cut really because terrible. I was standing there right when he walked
DFL.
Off.
DFL.
Yeah, and then, but he is a good scrambler.
I'm going to throw out some names here because, like I said, I think when you've got 60% of the field making the cut, you can go with a studs and duds lineup, and there are guys in this 6K range who could come up and top five or potentially win this event. I don't think there's many that could win, but I think there's a few that could.
I agree.
But let me, before you
go into yours, since I only have hardly any of these guys, even though he missed three cuts in a row, but he had a top 10 finish last week in seventh place, Cam Smith. At 6,900, right there at the top.
He's finally back. Like, I wanted him back.
He had 263s last week.
Yeah.
And another guy that's a great scrambler. I think Cam Smith is just, he's the great, fantastic play of the week. So there you go.
Wow. That's a bold call. Great, fantastic play of the week, Cam Smith. All right.
Other than that, I'm just going to have to throw it off to you because I don't really have a ton of guys in here, except for Jonas Blix.
You're also famous for that. Well, I don't really have anybody. Well, I do have this guy. Well, let me say this. Are you sure you're done? Seriously going to play Jonas Blix in this field?
Yeah, I am. You love him on fast greens.
That is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. That's so ridiculous.
He's a flyer pick for me, obviously. But
yeah, well,
if you're looking at putting,
he's gonna
stats,
fly right off of your. I can't think of it right now.
I bet you he makes the cut.
I bet you he doesn't. I bet you he's one of the 40% that does not.
I bet you he makes the cut.
He won't. If you want a name in the 6K who could win, Charles Schwartzel right there at 6,900 is one. Other than him, I think Graham DeLette actually checked a lot of boxes for me. He popped a lot of boxes. He checked the box in strokes gained approach, par four scoring, and proximity in the last 12 rounds. He's the only guy in the 6K to check three of my five boxes. So I might have to roll with a little DeLette. That's scary. He cannot win, that's for sure. But, you know, whatever. Another guy who I did not really see coming, but the more I look at him, I think he's a GPP play, not a cash play whatsoever. Checks the box in strokes gained approach, checks the box in strokes gained around the green. He currently sits at 114th in the FedEx Cup ranking, so he's got to get in that top 100 and a little more motivation for him. At 6,800 is Harris English. Yeah, that's right. Harris English. A little scary. Total GPP play. Also like Harold Varner there at 6,800. Varner snuck in at 123, so he's got to have like a win or top five to make it into next week. He seems motivated as well, so I don't mind Harold Varner. Shez Reavy, Shestical, 6,700, also checks the box in strokes gained approach and the proximity number. Shez, let me see where Shez is on the ranking here, because I do think that means something. Oh, Shez is looking pretty good. He's 63 in the ranking, so he's all right. Brendan Hagee, I think, is worth getting on, even though he missed the cut last week. No, he didn't miss the cut last week. He just didn't play well. What? He didn't finish well. Or did he miss the cut last week? I can't remember. Do you remember? I didn't end up having a lot of them.
I didn't have any.
I went more Trey Mullinax.
He did miss the cut, though. He had two straight rounds of even par.
Yeah, I don't mind hopping back on him after that miscut, just again in GPP formats.
He's been playing good.
He has been playing well. Again, another guy who's just going to be highly motivated. You know, some of these rookies who, you know, this is their first experience. I mean, can you imagine, like, a year ago, you're on the web.com tour, bro, and, like, if you won, you won a couple $100,000, and now you're playing in the FedEx Cup playoffs for $10 million. I mean, it's a big freaking deal. Like, I bet some of these guys are going to be locked in. And some of them are going to buckle under the pressure in the field, and it's whatever. But I think there's some guys that could pop here, especially, again, on a course that no one's seen. No one's really had a whole lot of experience on.
Let me ask you this, mm-hmm. just out of curiosity. I can't remember. Did Cody Gribble win a tournament in the fall?
He did.
Okay, so that's the only reason.
So he's exempt. Yeah, and he's exempt for next
because
year.
Because anyway. I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm like, this guy has made like two cuts all year long.
Yeah.
And he's still...
He's ridiculous.
Yeah. Don't play Cody Gribble.
That's it for me.
That's all I got.
Outstanding. Well, don't forget to check out the Gino Benelli podcast. It is a good one. You will not regret it. We hope you guys have some green screens this week. Hopefully our picks will be better than last week. They can't do much worse. So that we got that going for us. And yeah, follow us Twitter, Instagram @Tour_Junkies. If you don't already like our Facebook page too, we need more likes on the Facebook page. Just search Tour Junkies and then check out the website, tourjunkies.com. We got a article going up on One Groove Low, I'm sure, from Mr. Ash Morrison on your European Tour content for the week. And buy some swag. Put Pat to work. That's all I got, Pat. Good show. Short, sweet, to the point. Let's have a good week for the Northern Trust. See ya! Out!
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out. Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really? Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.